Are you a single believer looking for the love of your life?
Or are you a married believer looking to grow the love you already have?
If you like practical advice
based on the Word of God
with real life examples,
you're in the right place.
I'm Cindy.
And I'm Wayne.
Welcome to Love with the Lines. Hello, and welcome to Love with the Lines. I'm Cindy.
I must be Wayne.
You are Wayne.
Am I?
Yes.
Okay.
And this is episode 57.
How can you tell it's me?
I know you.
Is it the Hawaii shirt?
Yes, that was the dead giveaway. Otherwise, I'm not sure I could have known that it was you.
I'm such a man of change and intrigue, I know.
Yes, that is you.
Yep.
You got some swampland in Florida you want to sell me to?
As a matter of fact, I've got 37.5 acres.
Okay.
But I can give you a deal.
Will you? All right. Well, we'll talk about that after the podcast.
We'll talk.
All right. Anyway.
Anyway.
So today on this episode, we are going to talk about ways to observe Lent as a couple.
Did we say what episode it is?
Yes, I said it was episode 57.
Did you? Okay. Never mind. Okay, go ahead. Carry on.
Anyway, we should have thought to do this when Lent started way back in February, but there are still 2 weeks leading up to Easter, mm-hmm. So you could adopt some of these practices. I did some research just to see what I could find about different ways that couples can meaningfully approach Lent together. And so Lent is the 40 days, not counting Sundays, that leads up from, well, it goes in between Ash Wednesday, starts with Ash Wednesday, and leads up to Easter Sunday. So, and typically, it has been a time when most church traditions encourage some kind of sacrifice as an observance. Like, I know when I was a kid growing up, it's like you had to give something up for Lent. You had to give something up for Lent. I never knew why, but we did. And then, you know, most of the time, like, even if you said you gave up chocolate or whatever, you would get so far and then you forget about it. But some people are very intent on mm-hmm. how they observe Lent and what they do. And
so we didn't do anything.
You didn't do anything.
We didn't do anything. No. Nope.
Well, you didn't go to church. So,
right.
So things at the church weren't a part of your life.
Right.
But yes. Yeah, so we have a scripture that Wayne's going to share.
Yep. And this is 1 John 3. Verses 16 and 17. This is taken from the New Living Translation, and the scripture is, "We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need, but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person?"
Mm-hmm. Great scripture. We always aim to live our lives so that we can reflect Christ
mm-hmm.
to other people. Mm-hmm. I looked at several different things and put them into some categories that we can talk about things that you could do as a couple to observe Lent. And of course, an obvious one that probably everybody thinks of is prayer. And we often think of spending more time in prayer during Lent. And we're always big encouragers about praying together as mm-hmm. a couple, time to pray together. Even if you can just make 10 minutes two or three times a week, if you haven't done it at all, that's a good time to do it. To do something sacrificially, one article I was reading suggested that you hop out of bed the minute your alarm goes off and spend a couple minutes in prayer together. Yeah. My husband is laughing. That would not do well in our house.
It would be interesting.
It would be okay for you, but I don't know how coherent I'd be. Let's just say Wayne wakes up a lot better than I do.
I wake up awake.
Yeah, I do not wake up awake. It takes me a long time to get awake.
Mm-hmm.
Another suggestion is to read scripture together, which that's also something that mm-hmm. we recommend, and that could be part of your prayer time too. Or to start a new devotion together. Mm-hmm. You know, a good way, if you don't know where to go in the scripture, you don't know what to pray, devotionals are a great tool because they typically They have a scripture. They have a little reading to go with the scripture. You know, it could be a teaching, an explanation, or just some thoughts around it. And then they typically have a prayer that goes with it. You could pray that together out loud together. You could take turns reading the devotion. And you can get free ones. If you haven't downloaded the Bible app, I would do that. You can get free reading devotional plans there. And you can always, does Bible Gateway have devotions or Bible Hub? I think
They do have some, but not like the Bible app does.
Or you can purchase them on Amazon or from your local Christian bookstore. Yep. Maybe your church has some available that they've purchased for you to use during Lent.
Well, the nice thing about the Bible app, too, is you can look at it on your cell phone or your laptop or computer. I mean, you could read ahead or, you know, read it separately and then come together later, you know, and read it together and discuss it or whatever, too. So
yeah, that would be a great way to do it. Another discipline that they talk about during Lent is fasting. And so typically we think of fasting as when you give up food. Mm-hmm. And I know fasting can be an issue for people who may have a medical issue or who don't do well. Like obviously if you are nursing a baby, you can't be, you know, depriving your body of nutrition at this time. And there's different fasts that you could do. Like you could do a Daniel fast where you're eating fruits and vegetables. You can fast one kind of food. Like if you have something that you really like say you eat pretzels every day, like you like your pretzels. Like you could fast pretzels. Mm-hmm. Some people fast caffeine or chocolate or, you know, different. You could fast social media, TV, that type of thing. So they had some great ideas in the different articles that I was looking at for ways that you could fast together as a couple that don't involve giving up food. So the first one is to abstain from eating out or getting takeout during Lent, and that you spend that time cooking together or making a special meal for your spouse. I thought that was a really interesting idea. Another one I thought that was really good is have a no-spend Lent and work as a couple to refrain from buying anything beyond the necessities during Lent. And then we sort of touched on this one, fast from phones while you are with your spouse, even if just for a set period of time each day. Because we've talked about cell phone usage before and its effect on relationships, and we're actually going to do some more work on that. Turn off the TV on the evenings or the social media.
But we do spend some time on social media.
Use that time to play and pray together as a family. And then you can pick a day each week to fast together if you want to do the traditional fast of abstaining from food.
Or fast something. But what I do a lot of times, too, is I'll fast. I won't eat any. I'll only eat one meal a day. I'll just eat dinner at night with you.
Yes. Yeah. So that's a way that you can do that,
too. There's a lot of different options out there.
Skip a meal.
Yep.
So another way to observe Lent is through charitable giving. In the Catholic Church, they refer to it as almsgiving. Almsgiving is defined by dictionary.com as the act of donating money, food, or other items to people in need of them, especially as a spiritual practice. And this is one of the Catholic Church's focused practices during the Lenten season. I found some other practices that I thought were unique in how to observe Lent through charitable giving. One is give your time and volunteer at your church or a community organization together as a couple.
Funny. A lot of times you think of giving with money, but there's a lot of things you can do besides giving financial. I mean, that's good too, but just to volunteer your time and stuff is really good.
We used to have a food giveaway at a church. We belonged to a program that would, on certain days of the month, they would bring truckloads of food, and we would organize a giveaway for the people in the community that were in need. And you and I used to do that together, and that was really a neat way to serve together. So that's something you can volunteer at your local food bank or volunteer in the nursery. Well, you have to have clearances for that. Anyway, there's ways you can volunteer in your church to do things as well, or in other,
being a greeter or usher or
other community organizations that you can find. I thought this was a really unique one. Spend a time together to go through your home and ask how you can live more simply, find things that can be donated to those in need.
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah, I thought that was a great idea.
Which that's something we've been trying to do anyway, is to downsize, but that's really good.
Mm-hmm. And another one is make a sacrificial donation to your church or a ministry that you support. Now, this is not for everybody, mm-hmm. and I would definitely seek the Lord on this, you know, depending on what your financial position is. But, like, we know of a ministry that has just operated under the blessings of God. But this couple, from early on, when they were called, when they met Christ, they left their secular jobs, they were called to ministry. And this couple, even to this day, they've been in ministry for, like, I think 30 years mm-hmm. now.
Something like that.
They regularly just empty their bank account, like everything. Like, they empty their savings account, they empty their checking account down to the penny and give it away. And God always replenishes mm-hmm. it. But like I said, that's something you need to consult the Lord about before you do it. But, you know, you may, maybe a sacrificial donation for you is $20 instead mm-hmm. of $10. It's, you know, or $10 instead of $5, mm-hmm. you know, depending on what your financial situation is. So that's something you could decide on together to do. Another one was to cook dinner at home, which kind of goes with, you know, don't eat out or get takeout, or forgo the coffee runs and donate the money that you would spend on that each week to a favorite charity. There we go. All right. And then another thing that I thought was an interesting part of observing Lent together as a couple is we've been talking about things that are a sacrifice. They're sacrificial. You're either sacrificing your time, your money, you're sacrificing eating or doing things that you want to do. But an article I read talked about sacrificing by doing something for your spouse that you normally wouldn't do, and not look for any reward for doing it, not expect anything in return.
So just to do it out of love and sacrifice and...
Yep. Mm-hmm. There was a quote in one article that I read from a book called Marriage, A Path to Sanctity. And this is a book from a Catholic publisher. And the quote said, "Marriage, therefore, means a lifelong commitment of genuine self-surrender. It calls for humility, fortitude, a spirit of sacrifice, and docility to the graces which God always grants when they are asked with simplicity. Husband and wife will be happy together if they learn to overcome selfishness and love of comfort, if they avoid seeking personal compensations for every sacrifice they make, and if they know how to give without anything in return. To achieve all this, it will help them greatly to remember that whatever they do for the love of their spouse is reckoned by Christ as actually done to himself." Mm. I thought that was really,
mm-hmm, that's a good quote.
Really powerful. Mm-hmm. Yes. That's from a book called Marriage, A Path to Sanctity, and it's by Javier Abad and Eugenio Finoy. I'm sure I'm not getting this right. It's actually published in the Philippines, mm-hmm. but I'll put the quote and the source for the quote in the description today. Yeah, so I think there's things that you might not normally do. Like, I mean, this time of year, Easter's early this year. So
it's very early.
We've had some lovely warm weather, but it's supposed to get down in the 20s next week. So, mm-hmm. for instance, if you go out and you're car windshield is covered in frost and so is your spouse's, mm-hmm. take the time when you're scraping your windshield and scrape your spouse's windshield,
right.
too. Especially if that's something you wouldn't normally do. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, maybe you're a wife. Sometimes one of the things that I do for Wayne when I know he's tired or he's not feeling well, or just because I want to do something nice for him, he's going to be out late for a meeting or something, is I take out the garbage. Mm-hmm. That's typically his responsibility, but I will take out the garbage for the night. Mm-hmm. That includes scooping the cat litter boxes. So
yeah, and I really appreciate that when you do that.
Mm-hmm.
You made kombucha tea for me the other night, too.
I did.
That's typically something I do. Mm-hmm. So that was nice.
Yeah.
So you did that. I appreciated that.
And you're welcome. So you could find something that typically your spouse does and do it for them, or if there's something that you know your spouse particularly likes, do it for them. Mm-hmm. But the thing is to do it without expecting anything in return, even a thank you. You're doing it mm-hmm. sacrificially.
Yeah.
But I thought that was a great way
yep.
to celebrate Lent. Anything you want to add?
Not that I can think of.
Yeah, so this is a great way to take something that's a traditional practice in the church, leading up to Easter and apply it to your marriage relationship. I think we can always look for situations that we can serve each other in love and that we can work to make our relationship better and to do kind things for each other. That goes a long way in a marriage.
Mm-hmm. And this is one of those things too, where, you know, talk to your spouse, what was their Lenten traditions mm-hmm. when they were growing up? I mean, like the differences between yours and mine, because we really didn't have any Lenten traditions mm-hmm. at home. I mean, like I said before, we didn't really go to church much either.
Right.
You know, so.
Right.
But your family did, and you obviously had Lenten traditions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, things we did. I would say we did them because the church encouraged us to do mm-hmm. them. They weren't necessarily part of our family.
Right. Well, in different churches we've been to over the years, some of them had a greater, I don't know, I'm trying to think of what you would call
emphasis.
It. That's it. That's the word I'm looking for. Greater emphasis on those mm-hmm. than others.
All right. Well, we hope that this is helpful and can give you some ideas to observe this last 2 weeks of mm-hmm. Lent, and then to incorporate this into your Lenten observations in years in the future. Yep. So until we talk to you next week, we pray that your marriage and relationship will be richly blessed.
God bless. Bye now.
Bye.